Grace and peace are yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, Happy New Year, everyone. I know you've heard of the lunar calendar, the academic calendar, the fiscal year, but did you know the church has its own way of structuring time? Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which is the start of the church year, and traditionally a good time to ask, what are you waiting for? Look, I'm probably the least equipped of all your Mount Olivet pastors to do this, but let's talk about the church calendar. So we start with Advent. After Advent comes Christmas, which lasts, like the song says, 12 days. Then comes a short period called Ordinary Time. Don't ask me what that means. I didn't have time for it in my Googling last night. It starts with Epiphany, though, and then there's the 46 days of Lent, culminating in Easter, that one I know, a season lasting 50 days, ending with Pentecost, which literally means the 50th day, and then another long stretch of ordinary time, again, I don't know what that means, until Advent starts us all over again. So if you take out those ordinary times, the church year is basically Christmas and Easter, and then two seasons, Advent and Lent, where you wait for Christmas and Easter. So why do we have those two prolonged periods on our calendar that seem to be primarily about what comes next? Two seasons dedicated just to waiting. Well, waiting is good for us. For one thing, it helps us cultivate humility. Waiting is a recognition that we are dependent on another. During Lent, we wait and we watch for Good Friday, for the crucifixion, the death of Jesus. We meditate during that time on our absolute dependence on Jesus Christ, whose victory over the grave becomes our own victory through grace. In addition to humility, waiting teaches us patience. Advent ends with the birth of Jesus, after all, with Christmas. And patience and Christmas go together like Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney. Kids, do you love that reference? These kids love Rosemary Clooney. Patience has its true companion in hope, though, which is another traditional theme of the Advent season. You don't patiently wait for a root canal. You reluctantly, or you anxiously, or resignedly wait for root canals. You patiently wait for things you hope for, like a child waiting for Christmas morning, for example. So, I ask again, what are you waiting for this Advent? We wait expectantly, of course, hopefully, for the birth of Jesus. But why? Who cares about a baby born 2,000 years ago? There are like 250 babies born every minute. I told you, I was busy Googling last night. Right there, 4.3 more babies were born. So why do we care about this baby? Well, there's of course a very neat, clean Sunday school answer, and here it comes. Our hopes are raised every Advent because this isn't just another birth. It is the incarnation. The intrusion of God into human life, the arrival of the Messiah in our midst. But I wonder if that makes things any clearer, really. Messiah is just one of those church words, one of those words we use lightly because we all basically get it and we never really examine it. So again, I ask, what are we waiting for? Who is the Messiah? What's the Messiah going to do? To the first century audience of Jesus' ministry and teaching, that title, Messiah, meant something pretty specific. And it meant roughly the same thing it had meant to the audience of the prophet Isaiah 7 centuries earlier. To the people of ancient Israel, the Messiah was something like what you imagine King Arthur to be, a mighty king, whose arrival would herald a new age of power and prosperity and, crucially, justice. The king would win great victories for the nation, but would also attend to the needs of its most vulnerable and oppressed citizens. In Israel, there was the additional significance that this figure would be a shoot from the stump of Jesse, which you heard this morning, which means a renewal of the ancient line of kings beginning with David, who slayed Goliath. We see in the passage from Isaiah that this Messiah would also bring about a dramatic reordering of nature. Lions would no longer devour lambs. In our story, it says cows, but I think lambs is nicer, but lie down with them. Venomous snakes would no longer pose a threat to wandering babies, but would endure their touch patiently. The most vulnerable would no longer be in danger. They would no longer need to live in fear. The immensely gifted scholar Michael Chan remarks that this belief stands in stark contrast to the legends of other cultures around Israel at that time, who imagined and desired a king who hunted and killed lions. In fact, that was a pretty standard motif in royal myth-making. But Israel was different. Israel put their trust in and waited patiently for a king who would conquer lions not by killing them, but by changing them. So a neat conclusion to the sermon suggests itself, right? I ask you who you're waiting for. I set up the straw man of this conventional conqueror, this lion killer. And then in a very stylish, very clever move, I give you Jesus as the real Messiah, who conquers not by force, but by his own death, which defeats the empire of the grave, not just for Israel, but for all nations. You start clapping, he cries. It's a beautiful moment. And here's the thing. That's all true. That would preach. That would be a responsible reading of these stories. But this is just the first Sunday of Advent. We've got more candles to light. We've got more waiting to do. And I want us to live in that for this Sunday morning. Because the simple fact is, Jesus has not yet reordered the world in which we live in the way we expect the Messiah to do. Evil still seems to flourish around us. The earth seems to be pretty far from the full knowledge of the Lord we're promised in Isaiah. The most vulnerable among us are absolutely not free from fear. So while Jesus has indeed won a great and lasting victory for life over death, and that is the heart of our faith, this world in which we reside still seems woefully untransformed. But you have been transformed. Your victory over the ultimate enemy has indeed been secured. You have nothing to fear. And the world is waiting. So one last time this morning, I ask you, what are you waiting for?